Today's lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand mysteries and all knowledge and have faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, I gain nothing. God is patient, kind, and not a jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant, rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. So faith, hope, love abide. These three, but the greatest of these three is love. Thanks be to the word of the Lord.
Let's stand for our gospel lesson. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's teaching the people. And he's teaching the very basics of what it is to be faithful to me. He says, but I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend. Expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I didn't see the Charlie Brown's Valentine special this year. Remember that when he goes to get Valentine's, he goes out and he looks in his mailbox. Oh, rats, it's empty. Now, when I was in grade school, I don't know about the rest of you, but we each were required to make a box, take a shoebox and decorate it, and cut a little slot in the top for a mail slot, if you will, and put our names on it. And then we had an official list from the teacher, and it included everyone's name, and we were required to make Valentine's for everyone in the class, even Charlie Brown. And we were supposed to make those Valentine's. And then on the fateful day of Valentine's, there was a ceremony of some sort. I don't remember it being very organized. I think we just all ran around and tried to put Valentine's in everybody else's box. Did everybody do this? Are we having a shared experience here? I'm not much of an artist, so my box was always rather interesting. And I would look at some of these Valentine's boxes, and they were awesome. There was truly some creative, artistic ability in those gatherings. I was not one of those. But I do remember as I was putting Valentine's in different people's boxes, I'd put some in, and it might be somebody that I didn't like very much. And I'd put it in there thinking, well, I guess if I have to. And later when I got my Valentine's and looked at them, I'd have a Valentine from them, and I'd think, oh, really? But then there was the one that, there's a gal I kind of had a crush on. And I put the Valentine in there, and I thought, this is from me. I doubt if she knew who I was. I don't remember who she was. That was years ago. But that difference is in the distributing of these Valentines. Where's Rick Ottenreit? Where did he end up? There he is. Stand, if you will, my friend. He's got on a tie that helps me illustrate. It's candy hearts. Do you remember candy hearts? How many of you got candy hearts this year? Carol, can you read a couple of those off of there? I love you. Kiss me. Oh. That's all Carol was going for. That's enough. That'll get us there. Oh, my goodness. A display of romantic love right here in front of God and one another. I found something. We went to I'm part of the District Committee on Ministry. And maybe just a real brief aside, if somebody decides to go in the ministry, first off, God selects people. And one of our first tasks is to say, tell us how God selected you. Tell us about your call. And then they go to their pastor, and then they go to the district superintendent, and then they come to the local church, and they have to have been a member of that church for at least a year. And the church votes on them whether or not to continue. The very first step in ministry. And after the church says, we believe this person is a person that would be a good preacher, we think their call is authentic and we believe in them, then it comes to the District Committee on Ministry. That's where I was at this meeting. But they had little candy hearts sitting on the table, and I just kind of grinned and thought about those. Isn't that lovely to have love and to have hearts on the tables? Cutie pie. Hot lips, cute stuff. You didn't read any of those, Carol. They're on there, are they? They're not on there, I see. He has selected, you selected some that you just knew which ones to pick. Fun stuff. I don't know if you have traditions around your romantic lives and your Valentine's days. Nothing wrong with that at all. A wonderful celebration of that gift that God gives us. Point of fact, we talk about that in the Bible. Here we were worrying about whether Rick and Carol were going to kiss right here in the sanctuary. But listen to the scripture. Listen to this. This is Songs of Solomon. Here's Rick saying to Carol, "You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you. You have made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand of your necklace. How beautiful is your love? How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than all kinds of spices? Your lips, my bride, drip honey. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon." Red hot. XOXO. Be mine. Kiss me. It is romantic. It is that earthly love that is a part of us. And including in the Bible is a wonderful and interesting thing. The history of that is intriguing, but maybe for another day. Romantic, courtly love. The love that attracts people one to another. It all goes back to this love that was much before Valentine. But Saint Valentine is a real person. He was a priest in Rome. He became bishop, as I understand it, in Rome. And this is at the time when Christianity was not really fully accepted. And in point of fact, at different times, to be Christian, you would be imprisoned in the Roman Empire. They believed in all the gods, the Roman gods and goddesses and all that stuff. And so to be Christian was to not fit in with the official religion of the realm. It wasn't until Constantine, 312, 314. And this is back 269 is when Valentine died. But Valentine was this Christian pastor, and he not only evangelized and welcomed Christians and talked about Christianity and introduced people to Christianity, but he performed Christian weddings. Well, he did some other things that some of the people around him accepted, and some of the Roman officials said, well, he's done wonderful good things. We'll let it go. But finally it became noticeable enough that he was sent to Claudius II. And Claudius said, no more. Stop all of this or else. Valentine did not stop. Valentine continued to offer Christ, continued to preach the word, the good news, share with all of those people what Christianity was about, and continued to officiate at weddings. He was ordered to be martyred, to be killed. He became a martyr. They beat him with clubs. They beheaded him. And so his life came to an end. And I wonder sometimes, if we think about the sacrifice that Valentine gave, what he would think of the cover of our bulletin this morning. Pia didn't print it in color, so just imagine, if you will, and I'm glad she didn't, because it saves us a little bit of money there, but that's a red heart. Oh, thank you. There we have it up on the screen. Vivid red heart and a red rose, and it doesn't even say love. I heart you. What do you think Valentine would say to that? I think actually he would smile, and he would accept that. But he might challenge us to say, is that all there is? Is that all that's going on? Is that all that love is about? This commandment from Jesus Christ to love your neighbor? Is that all we're talking about, is chocolates on February 14th? We read from Luke this morning, and it's interesting to read the beginnings of the story of Jesus from Luke when we're used to hearing it from Matthew. That's our kind of our official way of being. You recall that Jesus, in Matthew, Jesus selected the disciples, and then they went up on the mount, and he gave a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, and he began his ministry, and it was... In Luke, it's backwards. He does some miracles. He does some other things. Then he goes up on the mountain, and there he selects his apostles. He selects the 12. He calls them and gathers them into his gathering. And then he brings them down from the mountain to the plain where the people are. For Luke, this was important. It wasn't up away in a special secluded place that he was leading them and preaching and talking to them. It's in the midst of the people, down among the people, that he gives what is called the Sermon on the Plain. And it is very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. But then he gives out Valentines. Just like we were talking about, you did in school, in grade school, handing out Valentines. But he makes sure that he gives Valentines to every member. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Everybody, even Charlie Brown, gets a Valentine. Love is for everyone. Love is never separated from anyone. That's hard for us to hear sometimes. And maybe this needs to be the leading discussion in our nation today. You see, it would be easy to digress now into a political discussion, wouldn't it? So we think about some of the things going on nationally, some of the things going on politically, and some of the divide that has come about. But we don't need to do that. In fact, we need to not do that. Because we need to be at a different place. Christians are called to be about loving and to center on not politics and candidates and issues, but to center on Christ. Center on Christ and what he led us into and what he leads us about righteousness, doing things honestly and truthfully, about justice, not just informing the peace and keeping the peace and forcing people to do what you want, but about justice where people share with one another and there is no division. We follow Christ in hospitality. Hospitality. And if we do all of those things, the rest will fall into line, will it not? So that's a different way of looking at love. That's not the candy hearts on Rick's tie, or the kisses and the X and the O's and the chocolate hearts, all of which are wonderful, all of which are good, and all of which remind us of those gifts that Christ has given us. But that's not what Valentine died for and was about. He refused to not be Christian. He refused to save his life to stop being the Christ-called person he was. Now, this isn't just Valentine. Valentine was one of those disciples that did a wonderful job, one of Christ's followers, if you will. But Christ himself demonstrated some interesting things about loving the unlovable ones and about the differences between us. Think a moment about the apostles. In Matthew, he gathers the apostles and then goes on the mountain. On Luke, he goes on the mountain and selects the apostles. And he selects an interesting bunch. How much do you know about those apostles? Simon Zelotes. Simon was a zealot. It was a group, kind of a political group, that they were ready to rebel and militarily overthrow the Romans. And so when he came to Jesus, he thought, this is the leader. This is the rebellion that's going to happen. I'm going to join this rebellious group, and we as warriors will defeat Rome and overthrow her. A warrior. And Jesus selected him. How about the beloved disciple? We believe it's John. It's a wonderful debate, but here was a lover. Here was a beloved, a heart-filled, passionate about care of one another. And how could these two be gathered in the 12? Such distinct opposites. What about Simon Peter, the gung-ho, the our cause, our way, follow Jesus, overthrow, strong-minded, faithful Jewish leader. And Matthew, a tax collector. A tax collector. You were unclean to even be around them. You couldn't have anything to do with them. And here, Jesus has elected these polar opposites to be two of his apostles. Loving, caring, and forgiveness. Oh my goodness, forgiveness. The very final lesson that Jesus teaches as he's dying on the cross. He looks down on those who have persecuted his tormentors. He looks down upon them and he prays. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can we forgive our persecutors? I'm not there, folks. I'm trying. I'm moving in that direction. I'm not 100% there. Loving your enemies. It's easy to love the ones that agree with you, the ones you love, and the ones that love you back. But how do we love those others that are hard to love? So we think about love, and there are different ways that it's translated from the Greek. And we don't need to worry about those except to say that there's the love that is romantic and between couples, between people in love, between father and son and mother and daughter. And there's the love that is a decision that we make to say, regardless of what you do, I will love you. I am deciding to do that. It's the love that God gives to us. Sometimes we don't do what we ought to do. Wasn't it Paul who said, why do I do the things that I do not want to do, and I do not do the things that I want to do? And isn't that all of us? So love is a decision. And Joe read us 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. I'm gonna take that, and I want to take a minute with that. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes if you promise to open them again in a minute. And not fall asleep, but close your eyes and for a moment let us prayerfully think about this thing about loving. And I want you to pause and think about someone that you are frustrated with, someone who is that other that drives you nuts. And then remember the scripture, love is patient. Love is kind. Think for a moment about someone that you disagree with, someone who is at the opposite side of a viewpoint, who if you sat down and got knee to knee with, you'd be in an argument with. Think about them for a moment.
And then listen to the scripture. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Think for a moment about arguments you've had or disagreements you've been in. Think about conflicts in your life and in the world around us. And listen to the word of the scripture. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth. And as you think about all of these things, think about how worrying it is to have all these things, these weights on us, and all of these arguments and these divisions and all of the things that seem to be driving at us so that we want to move away to an island somewhere and be away from it all, to escape all of this conflict. And listen to the scripture. It says, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. Now you can open your eyes, come back. Anybody that's asleep, whoever's next to them, give them a little gentle nudge, a loving nudge to wake them up. And let's think a moment about the love that God gives us and how we are called to share that every moment, every second, to the best of our ability with God's help. May God bless us in that endeavor. Amen.